EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody at above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. How is your week going? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We are back in Oregon this week to hear from Matt, and Matt will be sharing his UFO encounters. The first event was a collection of orange orbs. Then a few months later, in 2016, a fully formed craft flew over his head. Many reports were made to the New Fork website of sightings of UFOs across Oregon that morning. Matt is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick. Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for having me on. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from the state of Oregon in the U.S.
Yeah, that's right. In western Oregon, in a city called, outside of a town called Lebanon, about 100 miles south of Portland or so, out in the boonies.
Out in the boonies. Wonderful. Well, I was saying at the beginning of the show, you've got good internet for being out in the boonies.
That's right. It's working for now. So hopefully that it stays on. But yeah, hopefully it's nice and clear.
Now, Matt, you have two UFO sightings to share to our listeners. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, sure. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, I live out in a small rural property with my family. We have a few goats and a few chickens and a few horses and a couple of pigs, and we like it. We don't do it for, you know, money or anything. Anybody that's got, you know, animals on a small little property, you don't do it for the money. They're just pets. But one of the one of my favorite pets are our flock of chickens. And on September 9th of 2015, it was just after dark, and I was in the house, and I realized that I had forgotten to close up my chicken coop. It was probably around 8 o'clock at night. And so, you know, I was like, oh boy, I forgot to put the chickens away. I didn't want them to get, we have foxes and skunks and other things around that sometimes get after the chickens. So I was really kind of nervous about having to close up the chicken coop. So I went outside on my front porch and walked down about 150 feet away down across the grass to where we have our chicken coop to close up their door. And I turned back around after doing that, walked over to my driveway, and then was starting to head back up my driveway towards my house. And I was probably still, 30 or 40 feet from my front porch heading towards my house. And I saw this object or collection of objects. It was like 3 to 6. I couldn't really tell, these orange orbs that were in a circular pattern, and they were zipping. They zipped over the roof of my house, essentially, and flew right over my head. It's kind of hard to judge the distance when it's dark like that. If I had to estimate, I would say if you held up a golf ball at arm's length, that was kind of the size of it. And so as it flew over my head, I pivoted, 180 degrees to follow as it passed over, and basically tracked coming up from the south over my head, heading north. And I pivoted around and to follow, keep them in my sight. And they seemed to bank off to, the northeast and disappeared behind kind of the ridge and out of sight. And I was just like, holy cow, what the heck was that? There was no sound. And I noticed that the orbs, I couldn't exactly count exactly how many there were, but again, it was something like between 3 and 6. And I noticed they were rotating. So as they were moving north, probably as I described it, as roller coaster speed, it was also rotating at about the speed of like a stopwatch. So like if you think of like a second hand on a stopwatch, it really startled me. And so instead of going back in the house, I walked across a little footbridge that we have and went out towards the pasture that we have to get a better clear sight of the sky to see if I could still see them. And they were gone. But then I looked around the sky and I noticed that there was this these collections of kind of like star kind of looking things, red, white, and blue flashing dots in the sky that were kind of moving around. And I thought, man, that is really weird. What is that? So I stood there for a few minutes and then I decided to go back into my house and get my wife and my daughter and told them to come outside. And so they all came out and we went back out to the pasture to look at them. And they were just kind of like, they looked kind of like a star. They were really far away. But what got my attention was that they were kind of moving in these kind of patterns. They seemed to not follow first I thought they might be jet airliners. But the way they were moving around into formations and then back apart, it was just really quite amazing. And at one point, my daughter, who was 10 at the time, she said, "Hey, mommy, what is that? What are those things?" And my wife said, "I don't know." And so we just kind of stood there, kind of dumbfounded. But I could tell that, at that age, a young person is supposed to look to their parents for all the answers, and it was clear that we didn't have any. So my wife was like, "I don't know what these things are, but we're going back inside." So we all went back inside. And then, maybe about an hour later, I decided, I was super curious about both the orange orbs that I saw. And then, of course, all of these like objects, moving around the sky. So I got my coat on and went back out. And it was a September evening, of course, so early fall, it was chilly. And so I would stay out there for a good half an hour and they were still there, and basically over the course of like 3 hours going back and forth into the house, to warm up occasionally, I just would see these things moving around, and they were coming from the east and north, south, like all points of the compass and coming together and moving apart. It was really, really bizarre. And at one point I thought to myself, well, I got to call the police, right? I can't be the only one seeing these things. And I thought, after a couple of seconds of that, I thought, well, I'm not going to call the police because they're going to probably think I'm a nut. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll call a friend. I have a friend that lives in town and these things were so high up in the sky that I couldn't be the only person seeing these things. So I was thinking of calling a friend. And then I thought, well, that's not a good idea either, because it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock by then. And it was a school night. It was a work day. So I didn't think it was worthwhile to wake up my friend potentially and his family to tell him to go outside and look at a UFO, right? So having never seen these things before, I didn't necessarily want to share that just by, you know, making them a little, you know, alarmed or something. So I thought, well, what else do I do? And then, of course, I did what most people do. I Googled it, right? So I Googled reporting UFO, and that brought me to a site that I know that you're familiar with, Nick, the New Fork website, the National UFO Reporting Center. And I got on their website and I filled out their report and basically just explained to what I just explained to you about. And the next day or a couple of days later, I got a call from the director there, Peter, and he talked to me. It was really great conversation. And I thought this was like going to be big news. It was big news for me. And I was thinking, oh boy, do I have to do interviews and do I have to go on a TV program? Which kind of shows you how naive I was, because it was an amazing thing for me. But you know, it wasn't exactly national news, as I was come to find out, of course. And Peter was great. He explained. He says, "Well, Matt, you know, I hate to break it to you, but there's thousands of these orb sightings a year, or, you know, sightings in general, in particular these orange orbs." And I was really very intrigued by that. I was like, "Oh wow, really? You know, I'm not the only one." And he said, "Yeah, you could check out our website and have a database of sightings," which you know well, I think, Nick. So anyway, I got off the phone with Peter, and then afterwards I told a few close friends and some extended family, and people were polite. They tended to believe me and just kind of shrugged their shoulders and say, well, that was weird. So, you know, it was a pretty profound event for me, as modest as it may sound, to some of your other guests that I've heard on your program, which I'm a big fan of. You do a great job. And at one point I thought, well, maybe I should go down to the, you know, set up a town square or something like that, rent a conference room and reach out to other people in my neighborhood to see if they've seen things like this. And my wife was basically like, good God, man, don't do that. You know, people think you're crazy, right? So, you know, I certainly became a bit of a sky watcher after that. I did keep it to myself, which is fine. But I did become a bit of a sky watcher afterwards. And that's one of the reasons I like your sign off at the end of your show, where you say, keep watching the skies. And anybody who's seen a UFO, I know your listeners have seen plenty of them. Yeah, you do tend to become somebody who watches the skies quite a bit. So I still do. Not as much as I did at the immediate aftermath of this event. And one of the things I really like about the New Fork site is that they have just this great record of sightings over years, you know, going back decades. And they have them organized in like by state or by, you know, country, by event, by type, and that kind of thing. And it's really easy to access. So being a data-driven guy, I would start checking the New Fork website for updates every week or 10 days when they do it. And so I dug into the database a bit and sorted by Oregon and looked for records around my hometown of Lebanon. And I read through a couple of reports that were from July and August of that year, so 2 months before my sighting, and it was very similar in descriptions about these orange orbs. One husband and wife report that I thought was super interesting in July and August of 2015 near Lebanon, where his wife was looking out the window at her kitchen and saw this orange orb, and actually she and her husband jumped in their car and drove down the road and trying to follow it. They got some short video of it. And anyway, it was really similar. And so it's the same kind of region as I live, and a description that was pretty similar to what I had seen. So that was kind of validating to me. And then so each week I would check the New Fork site. I kept checking into the rest of September, and there was nothing from my area. I checked it again in October, nothing, November, and December, there was nothing. So, and sometime in early January of 2016, so about 4 or 5 months after this event, there was a report on the New Fork site from a New Year's Eve party in this little town, this little village that's literally like a mile from my house called Sodaville. And I read this report where it said this group of people were at a New Year's Eve party, which is, you know, pretty standard. And they were saying their goodbyes in after the party, after midnight. And they're on their porch and saying goodbye to their hosts and heading out to their car. when they saw this orange orb that was up in the sky, but it wasn't too far away, I don't think. I think it was like, you know, maybe half a mile away, a few hundred yards away. And they all stopped and they all looked at it and they all started pointing at it and going, oh my God, what's that? And as they were standing there, according to the report, it zipped down, you know, away down towards the ground, behind some trees or, you know, in the distance. It didn't like come down right on the ground in front of them, of course. But so I thought, oh boy, okay. So the reports from July and August, with that couple that were from my region describing an orange orb, and then my experience in September, and then fast forward to, you know, late December, New Year's Eve, all in the, you know, same region describing orange orb in the sky kind of thing. So I was like, okay, you know. So again, it was really validating for me because it's like, well, it's not just me seeing these things. People in my neighborhood see the same thing. So that was quite impressive, I thought. And then, so the rest of January, there was nothing of note. And then we rolled into February of 2016, which is kind of funny. And now it's almost 7 years to the day that we're talking. In any case, on February 10th, 2016, I tend to get up early in the morning, and this day was no exception. I get up at around, 4:30, between 4 and 5 a.m. So I got out of bed that morning and went out into the kitchen to start the coffee pot. And while I was fumbling around in the kitchen getting my coffee ready, I woke up my wife. My wife heard me moving around, so she came out of the bedroom and got to the top of the stairs and called down to me and said, would I mind taking out our new puppy that we had just gotten a few weeks before and take the puppy outside to go to the bathroom? And, you know, I said, of course. So I picked up the puppy and got her leash and collar on and then headed outside. So I walked off the front porch, back down the driveway, over to a little patch of grass that I had and put our little puppy on the ground. And as was my custom, standing there, I started to look around the sky. And so this is, you know, February, and it was pitch black outside. It was, you know, as dark as midnight, even though it was around 5 o'clock in the morning. So I started scanning the horizon a bit, just looking around. And I noticed on the horizon, just above the ridge line, there were these two fuzzy white lights. This area that I live is kind of surrounded by forest land. We've got, you know, industrial timberland, a lot of logging goes on. It's kind of like foothills of the Cascades. I don't know if I'd call them mountains, but, you know, kind of, you know, terrain and ridge lines and things like that. So I saw, and when you live in a place long enough, you know, you recognize lights from your neighborhood, right? Even though we live rurally, we do have neighbors. You get to know where their secure, you know, lights are for their outbuilding or their front porch lights and things like that. And these two lights were higher up in the sky, like right at the ridge line above the trees at the top of the ridge, and nobody lives up there. So I thought really quickly, like, well, that's not a house or a barn up there. There's just tree plantations up there. And my next thought was that maybe it's a logging crew. They can get started early sometimes. They get up there, you know, before first light, so that they can start logging. So I just sat and listened for a couple seconds, and it was far away, like maybe half a mile to a mile. I don't know exactly, hard to judge, something like that, several hundred yards away. And I didn't hear anything. There was no, if it was like a skidder or, you know, some kind of logging equipment, I was close enough to them, that looked like, to hear a diesel engine chugging along, you know, going up a logging road. It was just dead silent. So I crossed that off the list pretty quickly. Like, okay, it's not an outbuilding. It's not a logging crew because it's completely silent. What the heck is it? And as I stared at it, I noticed that it was moving. And it was moving like straight at me. I was like, okay. And I would say it was moving about sailboat speed. And they had this kind of, like I said, a fuzzy quality to them. You know, kind of like a street lamp or looking through a light through like a heavy fog, even though this was a crystal clear night. And I thought to myself, holy cow, that's a UFO. The two white lights were kind of vertical. There was one above another. And I was determined at that stage to, like, okay, unlike the first time back in September of the previous year, I was going to get something on video. So I pulled out my iPhone and I started taking pictures from a distance. And anybody who's used an iPhone, maybe somebody else on, you know, people are probably better at it than me. Unfortunately, none of it came out. I recorded some, tried to record some video. That didn't come out either. All it is audio of me kind of like cursing because I was just not, the thing wasn't working. I couldn't actually record anything of significance. It was just all dark. But anyway, so as these two lights started coming closer, I noticed that they kind of seemed to merge into one light. And as I'll explain in a minute, I think there's a reason for that. I don't think they did. I think it was just the angle that I was looking at them from a distance. I think the craft, there was a light on top of the craft and there was a light on the bottom of the craft. And then as it came over towards me, I don't think I could see the top light anymore. So I don't think they merged together. It was just my point of view from the ground. I only could see the bottom light as it got closer.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, and more.
The handler one day told her this whole thing about how they've been terraforming on Mars and they're building a colony and they're recruiting specific people of specific bloodlines and specific talents and skill sets to go onto the planet.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick, it was amazing, this thing. As it came in, it was about, you know, here in the United States, we have turkey or Thanksgiving dinner, and you have these like big platters that you serve a turkey on. If you held up a platter from, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, held it up at arm's length, that was about the size of this thing as it went right over my head. It was just amazing. It was like gunmetal black or gray. It was a collection of about five circles. I sent you a picture of it. Kind of is the best I could do to describe it. I don't know if it was black and gray. It was circular, like a disc. These four or five like circles, and it had in the middle, it was there was like a white light. It was white in the interior. It was only about 500 feet above my head. If that's my best guesstimate. The trees on my property are about 100 feet. It looked like it was above that, two or three times higher than the trees. Again, it's just a guess. But as it came in, I could see the gray circles, the black circles of it. And then as it literally went right over my head. And I looked right up in the middle of it, and I could see that it had, there was like three dimensions to it, right? It was not just a two-dimensional flat, you know, like in my drawing, it's like a flat thing, of course. But you could see up inside of it, like a structure. Not to borrow a bad Star Wars metaphor, but do you remember Star Wars when they had the opening scene where the Imperial battleship is going after Princess Leia's ship, and then they overtake it, and then they kind of suck up the ship into the belt, and you that kind of opening, and you just like this grayish kind of white structure. There was like a three dimensions to it as that scene happened. That's the kind of the best I can describe it. There was definitely, it was a structure. It wasn't like, you know, a two-dimensional flat thing. It was, I could see up into it, and that was mind-blowing. So I quickly, it kind of cruised right over my head, no sound, completely silent. I've heard that with other descriptions. And that, I mean, just the way it looked was amazing. But, you know, the fact that sophisticated-looking aircraft was just kind of sailing along like that with no sound. There was no jet wash. There was no rotor blades or anything like that. So anyway, I still had my phone, which was not at all useful for recording video, unfortunately, or taking pictures because it was so dark. And I switched over to a compass app, and I made sure that as the craft, you know, kind of cruised over my head and disappeared over the ridgeline, I got a bearing on it, and I recorded it at bearing at about 210 degrees. I don't know if a compass app has like a declination adjustment. So here in Western Oregon, our declination is around 19 degrees. So it could have been off by, you know, say plus or minus 20 degrees, but I'm pretty sure I had a good bearing on it. And so, you know, it was just really mind blowing. I was just completely dumbfounded by the whole thing. So I got my puppy and we went back in the house, and then, you know, I kind of sat down thinking like, wow, you know, and I decided not to tell anybody, thought, you know, that people again would think I was kind of a nutcase. This is like the second time this has happened, and now what does that, you know? So, but, you know, I went to work and I was sitting at the computer and I just thought, well, you know, this really did happen to me. I did see this thing with my own two eyes, and for better or for worse, I'm just going to write up a report and send it to New Fork. About a day or two later, I got a reply by email from Peter, and he said that I wasn't the only one that had seen this event, that there were reportings all over the Pacific Northwest at the same time. And he said, stay in touch. I'm going to update the site after I sort through all these reports. So about a week later, he updated the site, and I, of course, went straight to it. And yeah, he was right. There was like 8 or 9 sightings all across the Pacific Northwest at about the same time. So I took down the reports and I went to Google Maps and I plotted them out, like where each sighting had occurred. And there was one in Idaho, and then there was a couple, there was several in Oregon, and then there was another one that was in Redding, California, which is south of me. So I plotted them all out on Google Maps, and I'm convinced that there was more than one craft, because some of the timings of the other sightings that happened that time were like 70 or 80 miles away from me, like over on the coast, like in Newport. So something couldn't have been flying over my head and then also be flying over, you know, 80 miles away over on the coast in Newport at the same time. So that's why I think it was more than one. Maybe a swarm of crafts or something, who knows. So, but one thing that really kind of grabbed my attention about the reports was the report from Idana, Oregon. And people can find it on the New Fork site if they're interested. And basically, Idana is, I think it's like 40 miles northeast of me, and about the same bearing, right, that I saw. So I had the bearing of it going south at 210 degrees. And if you flip the compass 180 degrees, you're about 20 degrees northeast. And and this Idana sighting, that bearing from my house is about 20 degrees. It came down the same trajectory, essentially. And here's what that report said, if I may just read it for your listeners. This is a woman who was coming out of her house, and she said, this is what she said. It was awe-inspiring and a bit scary when it was right above me. I saw what looked like two symmetrical clouds, like half circles spread apart from each other, moving fairly quickly across the sky. When it got above me, there was a small dark object in the center emitting a light similar to a headlight on a vehicle, except much brighter. I live up in the wilderness in a very small town of 125 people. I was outside with my dogs, just like I was beforehand. And she was outside with her dog for work. And she also reported there was a small plane crossing over the sky, which was much lower than the object. So anyway, again, I was like really impressed with that, because it was, again, kind of confirmation for me that, you know, I wasn't the only one that saw this. And her sighting occurred, so I got outside, I think around 4:45 to 5 a.m. And her report was around that same time. So, you know, the timing of it, you know, could you travel 40 miles in that short of a period of time? But I'm not sure, but who knows? I mean, this thing was an amazing craft, and I just, you know, it's just profound, again, experience for sure. But again, these other reports that I found, especially from this one that was like on the same bearing that I had recorded, the craft that flew over my head, was really something else, I thought. again, kind of validating. I told a few friends and family about it, got basically the same reaction, like, oh, that's interesting, you know. But, you know, not making fun of me or anything like that. But so, yeah, that was those were the two sightings, Nick. I guess I would close just by saying that that's part of the reason I reached out to you. I really like your show, and I like the forum that you have, and people can share their experiences without judgment from other people. And I think that's part of the reason I reached out to you, because after listening to so many of your guests, I could relate to a lot of those experiences. And I thought, you know, after 7 years, it was time to maybe just share my story. So, yeah. Yeah, that's my story. And again, thanks for giving me the chance to share it.
Great job, Matt. Wonderful. And I always say it's never too late to share your experience.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, absolutely. I hope you found it interesting. I certainly did. But I appreciate you saying that.
And your second sighting, you know, I'm glad that you got onto Google and then were able to see all these other sightings in your area. I mean, mm-hmm. it's quite amazing. You could well be right. I mean, judging from the way Matt has sent me a map of these corded sightings, yeah, it could well be a couple of the same objects. I mean, fair enough. I mean, sometimes when people make a report, you know, that the timing can be a little bit off, 10, 15 minutes. You mm-hmm. know, we didn't look just sometimes when we have an experience. So it could just be a guess. But I mean, judging from the speed that you're saying this object was moving at and the times, it could well be mm-hmm. multiple objects.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you were able to take a look at the map, Nick. You could see how it kind of, I think there's like 8 or 9 reports. And yeah, that was pretty incredible when you plot them all out and you see it. There was definitely more than one. And again, I felt like that was kind of validating, you know, not that I didn't need to know that what I had seen with my own eyes was real, because it certainly was. But I think there's certain strength in numbers, so to speak. And it was great to see that other people had seen things too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, on this show, we don't doubt people which have been the only ones to see something. But it's the same as anything, you know, when you have a greater number of people seeing the same object, the same night, you know, at roughly the same time, then it's, wow, you know, something was definitely there. You know, our eyes haven't deceived us. We haven't seen an optical illusion or anything like that. You know, this was a physical object and a large object from the sound of it.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, the first one in September was kind of high up in the sky, like I said, like if you held a golf ball up at arm's length, it was kind of like that size. And I felt like maybe over 1,000 feet away, maybe 1,500 feet. But again, it's really difficult to judge the distance when, you know, something's up in just a black sky like that. But it definitely was, the first one was definitely higher up in the sky. But the second one, boy, I mean, I couldn't have hit it with a rock. It wasn't that close. But if I had a slingshot, I could have probably hit it. I mean, it was really close. You know, it wasn't like right above my head, of course. You know, like I said, it was about probably 500 feet. But it didn't like blot out the entire horizon. Like I said, if you held up a dinner plate or a turkey dinner plate, no, not like a regular dinner plate, but like one of those big platters to put a big turkey on. It was like that. So it took up most of my field of view when I looked up at it. And the fact that it just went right over my head was also something else, because, you know, it wasn't off to the side and I didn't, you know, it was like, you know, straight above my head. And that was the really kind of bone chilling, to be honest. It was like, wow, like, what the heck? And just to see something like that, it was, you know, it was really something else. Not using good adjectives, I guess, but yeah, it was really something. Just in its sophistication, you know, something like that big that could be, you know, in the sky with no means of propulsion and no obvious, you know, engine sounds or rotor wash like a helicopter or something. And it certainly wasn't. There was no wings on it. It was just like a circle. It was a circular thing.
And I'll make all these available to the listeners as well. So after they listen, they can pop on the link and to the website and take a look at this. And I'll even include your report as to Peter Davenport. And he's a nice guy as well. And what I like about the reporting center is it's not behind a paywall, you know, so anyone can freely go and check.
Yeah.
You've had a site site and you can make a report and then do exactly what you did, Matt, and check for any other people in the area which have seen the same object.
No, absolutely. And that's one thing that maybe is good for your listeners. Like when you have these sightings, and I know you encourage people to report it to New Fork or to MUFON. I totally believe people that come on here to share their experiences. But if they need any kind of validation, it might be good to, that's what I found is like, you know, it's really easy. It's accessible. It's not behind a paywall. There's no ads on it. They don't ask you for your, you know, contact information unless you want to give it. But yeah, it's just a real simple kind of, I think, an access database. And you can click on state. And I know they do other countries as well. So it's not just U.S. I think they got reports from all over the world. And you can go through and see if there's anything that's happened around the same time period of your experience, as a, you know, if you've seen something in the sky. And it can be really helpful. It was for me to say, okay, you know, like in September, I was like, I saw this really, this is the first time I'd ever seen anything like this, you know. And it was really kind of encouraging to see that other people in my neighborhood had reported similar things in the months before my sighting, in July and August of that year. And then, of course, that New Year's Eve sighting that happened like literally a half a mile down the road from me. So, you know, That's one of many things I like about that that resource.
Absolutely. And, you know, Peter works very hard on that. He gets tons of reports, so he does a great job. Plus, he's personal as well, you know, because you had an email directly from him, so, you know, which is great. So what I'll do is I'll put the link to the website down below. I think I used to do in any case in the show notes, but, you know, if you're out there and you've had a sighting and you haven't yet reported it, click the link and report your sighting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really easy. And again, I think there's real, I would encourage anybody to check it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you live out there in the country, you know, you're surrounded by wildlife and, you know, you got your pets there, which, you know, I could totally relate to. That's my kind of life, that is. You know, you look, you know, you're great for walks early in the morning and, you know, you've got the stars and lovely clean air. So, you know, you're looking up, which is great. Mm-hmm. Now, prior to your experiences, had you seen anything before or even did you have a passing interest?
You know, that was the first time I'd ever seen anything. My work takes me into different countries and really remote. I work in natural resources and ecology, and I've had the good fortune of traveling all over the world, well, a good chunk of the world, Southeast Asia, South America, Alaska, and other places, and been to some really remote places, and I've never, ever seen anything like this. I kind of joked to my wife that, yeah, like, you know, I traveled all over the world. I never saw a UFO. I only had to move to her hometown. Because when we got married, we moved here to see something really weird. And so I needle her about that. So, but no, I hadn't. But in natural resource management and forestry and ecology, we spend, you know, time in trucks with people for long periods of time, bumping along logging roads or, you know, trails and things like that. And if you're in vehicles with people and you're working with them and you're working closely with them, they, you know, eventually, you know, after small talk, you get these periods of time where you just start sharing stories. And there's been a couple of times where people have shared some of these really incredible experiences that kind of started my interest in this topic in the mid, you know, 2000s or, you know, early to mid 2000s. When other people that I would be working with told me these stories of their own sightings or their own experiences, kind of like out of nowhere. And that's really kind of what sparked my interest in it originally. I never thought I would see a UFO. I was always kind of interested in what they had to say and the topic in general. But no, this was the first time I had seen something.
Yeah, it usually comes from not expecting it. You know, you're out doing something and the last thing you're thinking, you're going to see a UFO and, you know, here it is, you know, right above you. So many people have these accounts and, you know, so when you're in these trucks on the logging roads and people share these, you know, so many people have them, but we don't hear about them, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, whether they don't listen to podcasts or they don't want to tell anyone, they want to be in a comfortable environment, guarantee it. I can understand your wife saying about the town hall, you know, you don't want you thinking you're like the town nut or anything. But, you know, it's never a bad idea because I guarantee it, you'd have people traveling from all over wanting to come and tell you about their experience, mm-hmm. you know, I guarantee it. And especially in your town alone, there'd be people.
Absolutely, yeah.
Even, obviously, you know, you don't have to jump to doing it at a town hall, but even just starting up a Facebook page, local Facebook page, getting people to maybe mm-hmm. join into a Skywatch or anything, get some interest that way. But yeah, there's definitely interest out there.
That's a good point, yeah.
It's always worth it. I always encourage people to set up small Skywatches in their area, because there is a lot of interest, a mm-hmm. lot of interest. So it's always worth doing, and you never know, mm-hmm. you know, you might all go out and spend a couple of evenings. You might see something, but then again, you might have a great old time. Great for the community, and you may just see something.
That's a great point, Nick. I hadn't thought of that. I did when this happened, both in September and in February. I thought I looked on Facebook and social media to find a group like you've just described, and they're kind of like state chapters of MUFON and things like that, which is fine. But they don't seem very active, and I wasn't able to really connect with people. So who knows? Maybe I should start my own Facebook group and see if I can find people in my local area that had similar experiences. That's a great idea.
It's a great idea. So what we do is, anyone that's out in Oregon, in the Lebanon area, shoot me an email if you'd be interested in something like this. And as soon as there's a bit of interest and Matt has got a Facebook page,
okay,
then, you know, we put it on this episode as well. And see what happens.
That sounds great, Nick. I appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely be interested in hearing from people that, you know, been some sightings, that's for sure, over the years. No question about it. There was a sighting back in a few years ago. I think I might have sent you the link on that from my local paper, which was pretty extraordinary. But anyway, not to ramble on, but there have been sightings, and that might be a good avenue to maybe connect with some people that have had similar experiences.
I agree. I know how these events go, and they're always, you know, they're always pretty good. Pretty good. Wonderful, Matt. That was okay. That was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Thanks, Nick. I was nervous coming on, but thanks for working with me to not make me so nervous. And I hope people found the story of value. Happy to have the opportunity to talk to you and share this experience with your audience.
Wonderful. You know, and you've just contributed to a growing list of people that have come on the show. And it's, you know, it is important that people share these things. If everyone was to stand up and share something they've experienced, it would be very, very surprising. Not to me. It wouldn't be surprising to me, but, you know, the amount of people which have.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. So to close, to say, you got a great show, you got a great forum, and I really like your program a lot, and hearing people's stories. And I just take Nick's advice. If you've had an experience, reach out and share it. It's really good to talk about it, to connect with like-minded people that have had these kinds of experiences. So, thanks again, Nick.
You're more than welcome. But like I always say, Matt, you know, it's the guests that make this show, because without the guests, you know, we wouldn't have a show.
Well said. Well said. Yeah, it's a great format. And I really enjoyed the other episodes that you have and hearing from people that are just, you know, like I said, regular people that have had these experiences. I think we've all seen the things in the news and the military and people like that, which is great. That's important. But what I like about your show is you have on regular people, because regular folks see these things too.
Regular folks, salt of the earth. That's why I look at it. Just everyday people.
That's right. Sounds like a great community of people and lots of good info. And I know that that I've really enjoyed your podcast. You do excellent work. And I just want to thank you for putting it together. It's great to connect with people and hear people's stories, share experiences like this. It's really terrific.
You're welcome, Matt.
Thanks again. And we'll be in touch.
Great stuff. All right. Enjoy the rest of your morning. Take care.
Thanks, Nick. Talk to you later.
That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you've had an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Matt for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.